Hey, thanks so much for giving me the opportunity to be able to share with you some. Today's passage is from Galatians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 to 10. Dean read them earlier. And the title of the I've given to this passage is that the gospel is good news for all peoples. For all peoples, whether you're from Mali, you're from Texas, you're from South America, China, Russia, Ukraine, Africa, it makes no difference what your identity is, what your people identity is. The gospel is good news for each and every person on this earth. All right? And this is important to us as a church. Our existence, we exist so that we can know the grace and truth of Jesus Christ and we can share it. God has us here for a mission, not just to know about Jesus, but to share Jesus. And you know, Jesus told his followers, Acts 1:8, you're going to be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. All right. You'll be witnesses for me. And when we go to the ends of the earth, and you don't have to go to the ends of the earth, when we go to out into Montgomery County, all right, we're going to experience different cultures, you know, different traditions, different societal norms. People are going to think differently about things than we do. There's all sorts of traditions and cultures that we will encounter as we go to the nations. Hey, Raul, how you doing, man? Good to see you back there. Sorry. I'm just like, okay, he's checking me out, man. So it's important as we take the gospel into different cultures and with different traditions that we keep the gospel simple and that we make it clear. Because, you know, I may say one thing that works in my culture and I say it in another culture and it's like, no, that means something 100% different, right? So I need to be clear on the communicate. We need to be clear on the communication of the gospel because it does not change as we cross cultures. It's the same gospel in Montgomery County, all right? It's the same in the middle of China, you know, in Beijing, all right? It does not change. And I think that's what Paul is emphasizing in this passage. Now, to help us understand it before we read through it, all right, a little bit of biblical context. All right, so just bear with me, okay? One of these long introductions. You know, it's been God's heart since the beginning of creation to bless mankind, right? He wants us to be in a relationship with him. And so in Genesis, we see the creation. It's cool. We see the fall, right? We see the flood. After the fall, sin has pervaded the world. And in Genesis 11, we see the creation of the nations. All right? They're all spread from the Tower of Babel. They're spread out languages, nations over all the earth. Genesis 11. In Genesis 12, the beginning of Genesis 12, God comes to Abraham. And he says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And through you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. So in Abraham, we see the beginning of the story of God's redemption, of his rescue. Because his heart is that everybody could be rescued from this present evil age. Paul talks about in Galatians 1. And that we can be established as citizens in his kingdom. All right, that's what he wants, that we can be blessed. And he says, Abe, I'm going to use you, and you're going to be an agent of blessing. That's Genesis 12. So in Genesis 15, maybe 10 years later, okay, Abraham hasn't had any children yet with Sarah. And God comes to him and says, Abraham, look at all the stars of the sky. Right? Your descendants are going to be equivalent to the stars of the sky. They're going to be so many. And Abraham says, I don't even have the first child yet. How is this going to happen? And God says, it's going to happen. So Abraham believed God. All right? And the scripture tells us that God accounted it to righteousness for Abraham. Righteousness was credited to Abraham because of his belief. All right? So then we go another 15 years. Abraham still doesn't have children. All right? But he comes to him and says, okay, we're fixing to start this thing. You're going to have a child. You and Sarah are going to have a child, Isaac. All right? And in Genesis 17, 15 years later, he says, and we're going to give you a sign for your people, and it's circumcision. I've got a covenant with you, okay, that Isaac is going to be your descendant, and then after him, we're going to build a great nation, all right? And what you do is, as a sign of this, you get circumcised. Okay, that's a sign of the covenant that I have with you. It's something that you do, okay, that testifies to the fact that you have believed in me and that you and I are in a covenantal relationship. Okay, so it's a sign. It's not that Abraham said, look, to prove to me that you have faith in me, you need to be circumcised. Okay? Because you believe and because we're in a relationship, I'm going to give you this external sign. Okay? And for the Jews, it worked like a community thing. It's like we together are all circumcised, and it binds us together as God's people. We believe in God, right? But together, this is something that we have. And God was going to use Israel to take the gospel to the nations. All right? You are my people at this time. All right? But circumcision was not required for Abraham to be in relationship with God. Abraham was in relationship with God because of his faith. Circumcision was something external that represented an internal thing that he had that put him in a relationship, internal faith that he had, not a thing, that put him in a relationship with God. But the problem was is that the Jewish nation began to make circumcision as something that was required to be in a relationship with God. Okay? So, Abraham, God wants to bless the nations. He chose Abraham as his agent of blessing. Abraham believed. God gave it to him as righteousness. And later on, he said, hey, let's get circumcised as a sign of what's going on inside. All right? First thing. The second thing is Galatians. Galatia, you know where Galatia is? Galatia's in Turkey, central Turkey, a little bit to the south, okay, below Antioch. Right? And that's where Paul and Barnabas, they went into Turkey, they took the gospel into Turkey and planted churches there. They planted churches in Iconium and Derbe and Antioch, Pisidia. But Paul took the gospel there. Now, what was the gospel that Paul took into Turkey? We talked about this the last part of August, right? The gospel is that Christ died for our sins and he was raised again the third day. That's the good news. That Christ died for our sins and he was raised again the third day so we can be assured of eternal life. And all we have to do is believe in it. right? So I like to say it's the 3 plus 1. Christ died for our sins. He was raised again the third day, and we believe. It's pretty simple. Christ died. He rose again. We believe. And that's the gospel that Paul took into Galatia. In Galatia, there were a lot of Jews, right? A lot of them had migrated into the area. So Jews had believed, circumcised Jews had believed in Paul's gospel, and uncircumcised Gentiles had believed in Paul's gospel. All right? So in the church, in the creek side over there in south of Ankara, whatever it is, what's the name of the capital city? Okay. In Iconium, okay, they believed the gospel. But what happened is that some Jews came in and said, look, you must be circumcised in order to be saved. This guy, Paul, he's not telling you the full story. He's not telling you the truth. You must be circumcised in order to be saved. And this kind of had Paul stirred up. Okay? That he had gone over there and preached the gospel. Now we got these guys coming in and telling them something different than what I told them. They were adding circumcision to the gospel. So here we are, Galatians 2. You know, this is a passage that when I read it pretty fast. I just kind of skip over it. All right? It doesn't have a lot of, you know, it doesn't seem to have a lot of doctrine in it or whatever, but it's really, I've enjoyed it a ton, and I think it's very, very important, okay? So, then after 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and I took Titus with me, and I went up because of a revelation. This is probably a visit that's described in Acts 11, towards the end of the chapter, verses 27 through 40, there was a famine. There was a prophet that rose up in Antioch, where Paul was at the time, and said there's going to be a famine over all the world. All right, and the believers, the church in Jerusalem, they were being persecuted. They weren't well off. They were poor. The church in Antioch decided, hey, we're going to take up an offering. We're going to give it to Paul, and Paul can take it down there and give it to our brothers in Jerusalem. So he says, okay. He took Barnabas with him, and he took Titus. All right. And he says, I went up because of a revelation, and I set before them the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles. I set before those that were influential, probably Peter, James, and John. He goes up, he's been in Antioch, he's been preaching the gospel in that area, so he goes up and he says, look, I want to talk to you about this gospel. And what's his gospel? Christ, believe, he rose again, and you believe. Nothing else. We don't add circumcision. We don't add anything else to it. Because he said, look, if I've been preaching the wrong gospel, I've been putting a lot of work into this. And if it's wrong, I've wasted my time. And this, all that I've done is in vain if my gospel's not correct. And Creekside Church, if the gospel's not Christ died and rose again, and all we have to do is believe, the work that we do here in Montgomery County is in vain. We are wasting our time if it's not true. So we need to make sure that it's true. All right? Because there are churches around here that add things to the gospel, but we don't. So then, Paul says, I explained this to them, but even Titus, who was with me, was not compelled or not forced to be circumcised. I think Paul probably did this on purpose. Why did he take Titus with him? Right? Okay, you know, I've got this tattoo, right? I got this tattoo for a lot of reasons, but one of them was for the church in Albania to say, look, let's have a debate about this, right? We're going to talk, can you get a tattoo or not? Does God care whether you have tattoos or not? Honestly. No. And there was a discussion in the church. I said, okay, I'm going to get one now. We're going to talk about it. I wasn't kicked out of the church. Like, okay, maybe it's okay. You know, but why Titus? He says, even Titus. And, you know, Titus was a minister of the gospel, and they knew that. And if anybody needed, if circumcision was part of salvation, bro, your partner needs to get circumcised, right? But not even Titus was forced to be circumcised. And then Paul says, but because this issue of Titus arose because of false brothers, just listen to this, because of false brothers secretly brought in who slipped in to spy out our freedom. Look at all the words. You know, we got the CIA working here, right? False brothers, they secretly slipped in to spy out our freedom. Now, I don't know whether this happened in Antioch or if it happened in Jerusalem, exactly how it happened, but I get this picture that Paul and Titus and Barnabas and Peter and James and John are sitting at a coffee shop and they're having coffee, and these guys walk in that we think are believers, you know, and like, oh, hey, Paul, how's it going? Hey, John, how's it going? What are y'all doing? Well, we're just talking. Well, here, have a seat, right? Or they're listening. Ah, those guys are talking about, you know, Titus is not supposed to be, doesn't have to be circumcised. I don't know, but somehow it's like a spying in there that went to spy them out. And all of a sudden we have a discussion about it, right? Maybe an argument like, no, you must be circumcised to be saved. Look at this verse, look at this verse, look at this verse, look at this verse. And Paul says, no, I did not yield to them for even 1 second, not 1 millisecond, not 1 moment. That's what he says. I did not yield to them. Now, a lot of times when there's a controversy, and I'm kind of this way, it's like, hey, let's find a little middle ground here, okay? We can, okay, you know, we can bring circumcision in. It's not a huge deal. You know, God, he initiated it a long time ago. Maybe we can, you know, bring it in just for those that are, maybe Jews must be circumcised to be saved. I'm just supposing now, okay? I'm just saying, this is maybe the conversation, right? And Paul says, not for 1 minute did I yield. Okay, this was an important enough issue that I did not yield at all. And Peter, James, and John, okay, they were listening to this. Paul says, and those who seemed to be influential, those, I say, you know, they added nothing to me. They didn't say, okay, Paul, listen, you should waver just a little bit on this, right? They didn't do that. They stood firm that the gospel that Paul was preaching was the correct gospel, okay? So that the truth of the gospel, what does he say? On the contrary, let me, I got to find where I am. I'm sorry. I did not yield a minute so the truth of the gospel could be preserved for you. You know, that's important. The truth of the gospel preserved for you. You know, and why? Colossians 1:22, let me read it to you. It says, Jesus has reconciled us in his fleshly body through his death, that he might present us before the Father, holy and blameless and beyond the truth. You know, if we add circumcision to the gospel, if we add works to the gospel, then what we're saying is that Jesus' death was inadequate. It didn't work. It wasn't payment. The truth of the gospel, if we add something to it, it makes it untrue. true. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Because we are holy or righteous because of what Christ did and because we believe in him, not because of what we've done in our body. So then the story goes on. So we've got this private conclave where Paul has talked to them about the gospel. They've had talked about Titus. They've had some false brethren come in, and they've argued about it. But the gospel, they came out of the meeting preserved, the truth of the gospel preserved. Then he says, on the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his ministry to the circumcised also worked through me for my ministry to the Gentiles. There's only one gospel, and it is true for Jews and it's true for Gentiles. And we see here that God is at work, right? God started this work all the way back in Abraham, right? God decided, hey, Abraham, through you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And the issue was faith. And God says, I gave the Jews circumcision as an identity that they were my people, as something that represented, that was symbolic of the faith that was in them. But God is at work, and there are not different gospels for different people. He entrusted the gospel to Peter to take it to the circumcised. He entrusted it to Paul to take it to the Gentiles. But it's the one and same gospel. Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to anyone who believes. It works for Jews. It works for Gentiles. It is the one same gospel. And I think that's what Paul is trying to emphasize here. It's the gospel. I take it to you. Peter takes it to the Jews. It's not a different gospel. Then he says, and when James and Peter and John, who were pillars important in the church, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they'll go to the Jews, to the circumcised. This is interesting, right hand of fellowship. We've heard that before, right? Why did we choose right hand of fellowship? I thought maybe it was an idiom or something. You know, they gave him the right hand. And, you know, right hand is kind of symbolic of authority or power or whatever, you know, in the scripture it was. And I think what he's saying is, you know, Paul, you've got some strengths. And these strengths that you have, they work well amongst the Gentiles. You go to the Gentiles. And Peter, you know, you've got a good understanding of Jewish culture. So you take this gospel to the Jews. But hey, we're both working together, right? You use your strengths, I'll use my strengths, but we are partners in the gospel. I think what is being communicated here. And we begin to see unity in the church, right? There's only one gospel, and we will work together to take it to the nations. And then he says, only they ask us to remember the poor, the very thing that I was eager to do. And again, this seems out of place to me when I first look at it. Why are we putting it here? But we need to care about the poor, and we know that God cares about the poor, right? And the oppressed, the widow and orphan, we know that. But these were brothers in Christ in Antioch, Gentiles, and we had brothers in Christ in Jerusalem that were Jews, but they were poor. It's a symbol of unity again between the two. Hey, we're brothers with each other. We care about each other. All right? We're one together as we take the gospel to the nations. So what we've seen in this story is we've seen a private evaluation of Paul's gospel. And Paul came out with the gospel not changed. Christ died for our sins, was raised again on the third day, and all you have to do to be in a relationship with God is to believe it, to accept it through faith. And then we have a public affirmation. Hey, we are in this together. All right? Paul, he's going to go to the Gentiles. Peter, he's going to lead the work to the Jews. But we are together in this. There's only one gospel. So how does that apply to us? All right. We need to be clear on the gospel. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to subtract from it. Creekside Bible Churches, we take the gospel to people in this area, in Montgomery County, in Texas, over in Kenya, okay, in Mali and Albania, wherever we go, we need to make sure that we keep the gospel uncorrupted. We do not add to it. We do not subtract from it. Okay. And this principle is good works, not only for salvation, it works for sanctification. And Dean's going to talk about that next week. He's going to talk, I think that's what he's going to talk about, sanctification a little bit afterwards, okay? But we have, the problem that we have, I don't want to tell on our pastor, but he's got this book in his library, right? And it talks about the 11 tests to know whether you're a Christian, right? And so the tests are, you know, it's got all these tests. And by the end of it, it's like, I'm not saved. No, really, and I'm not going to talk about them, okay? But we do that. Hey, a true Christian will go to church every Sunday. Well, he had to know what they were saying, right? You know, a Christian prays all the time. A Christian experiences this. A Christian experiences that. A Christian does that. A Christian does that. And if you're not having these, kind of having them, then you're probably not a Christian. So what we've done is we've added that to the gospel. We can call it whatever we want, but we have added that to the gospel. If having a quiet time every day is necessary for me to be a Christian, then we've added that to the gospel. Okay? Is having a quiet time every day important? Yes, it is. Okay? Because God wants us to be established as his people in this kingdom, right? He wants to bless us. And us learning about God and learning, you know, learning all that the gospel entails blesses us as we live out this life. But these things don't put us in a relationship with God. So we should be careful that we don't add things to the gospel. You know, I don't know how it is in Mali, Sherry, but in Albania, a lot of missionaries bring the American culture to the Albanians. And the problem is that the Albanians don't know that this is cultural for us. Does that make sense? We know, hey, I'm from Texas, he's from New York, we do things different, okay? We just know that these are cultural things. So somebody takes this thing that we do, our tradition, and they take it and they teach it as doctrine to the church. And they teach it maybe as necessary for you to be a Christian. And I'm like, that is purely cultural. And you should be careful when you listen to missionaries, okay? Because we all have a tendency to take our culture with us. I do. I have that tendency, right? And so it's important for us that we recognize that's a tendency that we have, and we don't add that to the gospel. We don't make it as you're not a believer if you don't do this, or all believers do this, therefore you should do this, and the way they interpret it is, I must do that in order to be saved, right? And the last thing is, what is our sign? If circumcision was given to Jews to help them have a national identity as people of God, what's been given to us? And so Dean's going to answer that question next. No, I'm sorry, Dean. You know, I think that it's Jesus and it's the cross, right? Paul says that, let me read it or I'll do it wrong. He's talking towards the end of the deal. He says, God forbid, he's talking about circumcision again and uncircumcision. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. And Paul says, I boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what draws us together is that we believe in Jesus. We rely upon Jesus. We understand that he died for our sins. We know that he was raised the third day, and that's what draws us to God. And so our faith in the gospel is our sign. It's not something that somebody sees, but it's something that somebody hears, right? It's something that we all express together. So that's another reason why it's important, I think, for us to make sure that we're together on the simple and clear gospel. Jesus died for our sins. He was raised again the third day. And we believe. And when we believe, God accounts it to us as righteousness. And we're transferred from this present evil age into God's kingdom. And then he begins to work on us, okay, to get rid of all those things that we learned from this present evil age. Okay? Mir? Good? All right. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have saved us. Thank you that you gave your life on the cross so that we might have life. And Father God, thank you that you raised Jesus from the dead so that we might have a sure hope of an eternity with you. Father, help us to hold on to that. Lord, help us not to add to it. If I add to it, if we add to it as a church, Father, show us, please, where we are. Because, Father, we trust in you. We believe in Jesus. And help us to carry that, Father, as our identity, that because of Jesus, we are your people. And we pray your blessing upon our church family during this week. Lord, I would ask that you would give us opportunity to talk to people this week, to be able to share our faith, to communicate the faith that we have in Jesus, Lord. And we just pray for your that you would be glorified in this community and in just across the world. We think of Kennedy and other friends in other places, Lord, that are sharing the good news. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.